access to information. During a May 6th television appearance, San Miguel accused military officials of violating the Constitution by joining Chavez's political party. San Miguel says she later received threatening messages on Twitter and was followed by individuals she could not identify in cars and on motorcycles, sometimes without license plates. She says the government has failed to investigate the situation or to provide her with protection.
Up until now, there hasn't been a judicial investigation into these complaints. This is the situation in which human rights defenders have found themselves. In Venezuela, sectors seen as critical are facing intimidation.
Rights defenders aren't the only ones affected. In March, a prosecutor charged opposition leader Oswaldo Alvarez Paz with publicizing false information. Alvarez Paz had criticized increasing drug trafficking in the country during a televised interview. He was detained for 2 months before going to trial. Other government critics have also faced charges, including journalist and blogger Gustavo Azocar, who was sentenced in March to more than 2 years in prison after a 10-year-long corruption investigation. Still, some human rights groups have said they freely criticized President Chavez's government without facing any consequences. Pablo Fernandez is the general coordinator of the Red de Apoyo para la Justicia y la Paz, a group that focuses on victims of torture and other problems in Venezuela's police and justice systems.
We haven't had any situations that we can call persecution or intimidation for taking action to promote the defense of human rights. We have expressed and we continue to express our criticisms.
Fernandez added that while non-governmental organizations may have faced some harassment, it's often the least powerful individuals that are most fiercely persecuted. For instance, the human rights group Provea says several peasant farmers were assassinated last year amid conflicts with large landowners related to the government's widespread land reform. Rachel Jones, FSRN, Caracas.
And that wraps up today's program. The newscast was produced by Catherine Comp. Headlines editor was Jess Burns. Washington, D.C. editor was Tanya Snyder. Today's technical production team at KPFA in Berkeley is Rose Katapchi and Scott Pham. You can visit us online at FSRN.org. You can send questions, comments, or news tips to comments at FSRN.org. Thanks for listening. In New York, I'm Dorian Marina.
And this is radio station WBAI New York. It's 7 o'clock time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Mike.
Hi.
Dotret.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Voltaire.
Leave Adrian alone.
Yeah, shush. I'm going to leave your mic off. And Jim, how you doing?
Hi.
Bernie S. down there in Philadelphia.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Well, we did really, really well last week with the fundraiser. I want to thank everybody for calling in. Wow. The first week we did terribly. The second week we did astronomically well. And this week, we hope to do quite well. Not astronomically well, but...
I think we can do astronomically well.
Well, again, it would be nice. The only problem is, whenever we do astronomically well, because we donate all of our premiums, it's a lot of work for us, but it's work we're happy to do.
It's good for the station.
It's good for the station. So what we've been offering the last couple of weeks, we're still offering, and this is the last week. This is the end of the fundraiser. The number, if you want to just call in and pledge now, is 212-209-2950. What we're going to do is, again, feature some excerpts from the next Hope Conference, which is actually the previous Hope Conference, the one that ended last month. And basically, those DVDs are yours if you pledge a certain amount. I believe we have 20 DVDs for a pledge of $75. We have 40 DVDs for a pledge of $125. The number 212-209-2950. But anything newsworthy that we need to go over tonight before we play some excerpts? Silence. Okay. I guess that means absolutely nothing has happened this week.
A lot has happened.
A lot has happened. Yes. Anything you care to share with the world or... no?
Yes, WikiLeaks, back in the headline.
WikiLeaks again, okay.
Yes, there's like a false controversy where the Reporters Without Borders and Amnesty International expressed their concern that there might potentially be names that were contained in the
documents. That was actually more than a week ago, but I heard about this.
But the update is that the media, or not the media, not all the media, but like certain like establishment media, like The Atlantic tried to turn it into like a huge story of like, oh, look at WikiLeaks being the idiots, and it turned.
Well, hold on. I heard the story. Now, what you're talking about is certain human rights groups were saying to WikiLeaks, there is a concern here that certain names are being revealed as Afghan collaborators, and that this could actually wind up hurting people. And you're saying that was completely fabricated?
No, it's just they kind of took it out of context. And today, the Reporters Without Borders released a press release where they said that basically they scolded the media for parts of the media for taking it out of context and making it look like they were against WikiLeaks.
What kind of context did they take it out of, though?
They said,
are they concerned or are they not concerned?
No, it's that they were concerned that they wanted them to work together, the media reported as the WikiLeaks not wanting to work with the human rights organization.
Well, I saw a response to this, kind of interesting response. The story continues to just keep going. It's unbelievable. But I saw a response actually from WikiLeaks that accused Amnesty International of being funded by the U.S. government, which I thought was kind of bizarre and strange.
Yeah. WikiLeaks has, especially, I don't know who does their Twitter stream, but they sometimes get a little trollish on there. But still,
someone has a mean temper. That's who it is. Amnesty International, run by the U.S. government. That's news to me. But wow. Direct, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stories I read didn't seem like they were just taking a shred of context, saying that the entire world is out to get WikiLeaks, but that they were bringing their concerns to WikiLeaks and that WikiLeaks was allegedly acting belligerent. And from what these tweets by whoever is in charge of this Twitter account was saying, things like, I saw the same thing that Emmanuel saw.
Uh-huh. Who's this Eric? Who's Eric?
Yeah. Bernie, what's your take on this?
Well, I think it's sort of a spat between organizations that want to help other people in war zones, and I think WikiLeaks has a point. Julian Assange has a point when he says, "All right, well, maybe some information in there may put some people at risk, but the greater good is that this puts a bright spotlight," I'm paraphrasing him, on all of U.S. practices in Afghanistan and Iraq. So, and that's a good point. More recently, the news is on WikiLeaks that the Swedish Pirate Party has announced they will be hosting servers for WikiLeaks, which I think is really wonderfully ironic, because the U.S. government has just in the past a week or two publicly encouraged its allies around the world to prosecute Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, and, you know, for doing what he's doing with WikiLeaks. And yet here's a U.S. ally, Sweden, who is one of its political parties, which has at least one elected representative, I believe, is going to be hosting WikiLeaks files.
Well, okay, Bernie, yeah, it's true that Sweden is a U.S. ally, but I don't think the Swedish Pirate Party is a U.S. ally. I mean,
no, but it's a country, and it's part of the government.
Right. Well, so it's a small part of the government, but it is part of the government.
It's not part of the government.
It's part of politics.
They have a couple elected representatives in the European Parliament, but they are not in the Swedish Parliament, and especially not in the Swedish government yet, at least.
Well, they've got more representation than any Pirate Party member here.
Oh, no, it's a huge accomplishment, but let's be clear about
what it is.
Here's
what I don't get. I know, Mike, you've spoken about this too, but basically, there's been a call. I think even Julian has requested people help with this, redacting names after the documents have already been released. What is the point of this? The documents are already out, and first of all, the U.S. government is even calling for documents to be taken off the site, but they're already out. So what possible good can that do? Wouldn't that even call attention to the sensitive material?
Well, I don't think, and maybe I misunderstand something, but I don't think WikiLeaks wants to redact documents that have already been released, but there are some documents they haven't released yet.
Maybe I misunderstood, but I thought they were offering to the human rights organizations, go through these documents with us and help eliminate the names that are sensitive, but the documents have already been released.
My understanding is that that offer applies to documents which have not yet been released.
Oh, new documents. Okay, well, there are new documents. There's always new documents.
Well, the so-called war diaries, when they released them, they released a large fraction of the total documents in their possession, but the top secret classified stuff, they did not release yet.
Okay. Dot Red.
The whole removing documents or redacting documents that are already out, I believe that was stuff that some people were saying after this, after the second massive release of documents of theirs, which was silly, but their call for help anyway, if it's honest, is about, like Mike said, new documents, hopefully.
I think the most important thing to take out of this is that the U.S. military itself should have been more protective of the names of these people.
Yes.
And it just goes to show how little they care about them. And when they bring up how little they care about the countrymen of countries that they've invaded. And when they bring up stuff like, oh, WikiLeaks violate human rights, are going to cause death of informants, when in fact it's the U.S. military that has kept these files not safe and hasn't blocked out their own copies of the names, which they don't need.
Well, I think it's the security issue that is always overlooked. And yes, I've seen this reported on Al Jazeera and many other enemies of the state that report news that's very worthwhile. That there are literally thousands of U.S. organizations, governmental organizations that have access to this, millions of people that have access to this. So of all of those people, is it so surprising that one of them was able to actually leak this to somebody else? And there's material that is constantly leaked all of the time, and by and large, that's a good thing. It's revealing information that people really deserve to know. Now, obviously, there are some sensitive things, and not every bit of information should be released. I don't think anybody would really be so naive as to think that. But shouldn't such information be well protected then, if it really is that sensitive?
I think it's a remarkable coup on the part of the U.S. military that they've managed to focus the debate in this direction, when if you and away from the actual content of the documents.
Exactly. And when Collateral Murder, when the video came out, the issue back then, way back in April, was that, U.S. troops killed innocent people and journalists from Reuters. That was a big deal. Not so much who dared to leak this information, because the issue, by and large, was, wow, we were being lied to. We're doing bad things over there. And now, yeah, it's totally shifted over, and now we have to find the person who released the information. And they've managed to shift it quite a bit, and I think they've been able to use these extra documents that have been released. I think the vast majority of which have really non-sensitive information in them, but because we don't know everything about them, we're able to make them our worst possible nightmare, and that makes whoever released these a threat. And if we can tie that to the person who released the video, well, then it's all one and the same, and no punishment is too severe. Rob,
it's a classic type of misdirection that they do, where they're ready to get people to shoot the messenger and draw everyone's attention away from the real culprits. It happened when Sarah Palin's email was hacked and people were saying, let's get the hacker, without a single mention of the fact that her emails were proving that she was breaking the rules by doing government business on her personal email.
Not to mention, she didn't know how to keep a good password.
Right. And nothing ever came of that. Sarah Palin didn't suffer any consequences. They got the hacker and he's in jail now.
He's in jail now?
He got 14 years.
14 years?
Something like that.
Go check your facts.
My phone's low on batteries.
Yeah, well, then go out and use a terminal. But 14 years, let's not spread misinformation
here.
Bernie, do you know something about this?
It was not 14 years. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was. I think it was somewhere around a year or so. But I do believe there was a prison sentence involved, which I thought was pretty silly for
A day in prison is too much.
For guessing an obvious password that was the answer to which was publicly available in a number of sources. But back to the WikiLeaks thing, I think students of propaganda would be well served to follow this, what the U.S. government is saying and the Pentagon is saying about WikiLeaks, because it's really interesting analyzing what they're saying. And I think when they're really scraping the barrel for arguments for the Pentagon to be saying that to call for current. Existing released documents from WikiLeaks to be excised or redacted is just nonsensical. I think the latest move is that the Pentagon has yesterday announced that they're reaching out to WikiLeaks to ask WikiLeaks to provide them with the documents ahead of time, and they will talk to WikiLeaks about maybe the Pentagon redacting them.
Well, maybe WikiLeaks can become an arm of the government then. That would be something.
I can't see that collaboration happening, frankly.
Yeah, I think they're reaching out to them with a pointy sword. I would not trust that offer at all. Now, as many of us know, the head of WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, was scheduled to be our keynote speaker at the Next Hope last month. Obviously, because as Rob said, the messenger is being the one punished for the message. Julian was not able to enter the country out of fear for his safety and freedom. However, we did have another WikiLeaks representative who has since faced all kinds of turmoil traveling and just living his life in peace. Who gave the keynote address in his place? What we're going to do is play an excerpt from that. And remind folks that this DVD, along with 19 others, is yours for a pledge of $75 to 212-209-2950. When we say 19 others, we mean 19 other interesting talks, including the WikiLeaks panel, with a panel really on informants and how it affected the whole WikiLeaks story and Bradley Manning and all that. For a pledge of $125, you can get 40 DVDs from the Next Hope. 212-209-2950. Let's take a listen to the keynote address at the Next Hope.
Power knows power, because power is in power. So what you need to do is empower yourself. You need to know that it is important to take this power and give it to people that are not simply the people that make decisions. Give it to the people that vote them in and out of office. That's why we want to inform everyone about this. This is why we want to make sure that the people that are in power know that they cannot issue a denial when everyone knows the truth. They can't redact a document when everyone already has a copy of it in their heart and in their mind. This is something that I think that all of you understand. And so I hope that all of you will take something away from this and do something about it. Some media has had some things to say about WikiLeaks. We'll go through that real quick. I think that it's pretty clear that we've done some good work. I like this one a lot. Schon heute das eher vorgerichtete journalistische Unternehmen der Welt. That's a bold statement, and the Germans don't make bold statements like that unless they're pretty serious. This right here are some awards that I would say that Julian has pretty clearly won and accepted for the project. But it's important to remember that WikiLeaks is not just Julian. So this whole idea of hunting for him, you can cut off the head, but there will be more. You just can't stop us. So here's an example of WikiLeaks at work, Barclays Bank. There's essentially this problem, especially in the United Kingdom, which is that people like to not only pretend that they can erase the past, but they try to take the present and pretend that it isn't happening. They censor publications, and they fight against what is actually happening in this exact moment, being able to be reported in any context whatsoever. So what did we do? We published the documents that they were trying to censor. The internet changes everything. They can't redact every person's computer screen. They just don't have that kind of control. The same is true with this. The Minton report shows that there was toxic waste dumping, where over 100,000 people have been hospitalized or driven to seek help in some way. Can you imagine that? That's every person in this room and every person you know, probably. And this is something that when people know this, if we refer to Moxie's quote and his question, when people know this, they can get out of there and they can seek help and they can seek to redress their concerns in a very serious way. And so these corporations use major legal obstacles in order to make sure that there are secret processes, in order to make sure that there are things that are taking place that you cannot know about, that you cannot talk about, that you can't repeat, that you can't quote. This is ridiculous. This is not the world that we want to live in. So WikiLeaks published those documents. And we publish those documents so that people will have access to them in and outside of that country, so that people will be able to know and to take action, which is what they should do, which is what you should do. And there are other publications which are fantastic, like the BBC, but the fact of the matter is they have a structure that does not allow them to actually tell you everything that's going on. And they have a lot to lose. I don't have anything to lose, right? I want to make a better world. That's what Julian wants. That's what Daniel wants. That's what other people who will go unnamed want. And it is extremely important that we don't let the buck stop with the publications that are afraid of losing their newsroom. If we get it out there, those gags will become irrelevant. Everyone will know the information. And I think there's a little bit of a full disclosure debate here. Well, I think that it's quite clear where we stand on free leaks, I suppose. But we believe that the most heavily guarded secrets, as it says here, if revealed, have the most potential for reform. There are some people that do not believe this. They believe that it is possible that we should keep those secrets there. But I ask you, what is it that those secrets say? Is it the idea that if you have something that someone else would know, and that would cause some kind of harm? Well, I wonder, what is it that you are doing that you are so afraid of? What is the hegemony that you are promoting in the world? That's the question, right? So I believe that when people in a democracy know these things, it will cause a change, and it will cause a big change. Because when people have things done in their name, it changes things in their hearts. And that takes them on a pretty heavy trip to the ballot box. Journalists sometimes do the wrong thing, and it's a little bit disappointing. There is a video that we're going to talk about that a journalist had for quite some time, and that journalist did not release it because they feared losing their special access. You see, the military offered a collaboration between journalists and the military, and they said, "You can come along for a ride with us, but we get to exercise a little editorial control." And some of these journalists did the right thing, and they turned that down. And some of these journalists did the right thing, and they talked about what they saw. And some of these journalists did not do the right thing, and they kept quiet so that they would keep their access. Those journalists are not very good, in my opinion. So we believe that disclosure is the thing that is the most important. Losing access, we have access to everything, because every one of you is in every single system that has all of these documents. We don't have to worry about it. When you see something that's wrong, you will tell us, and we will tell the world so that no one knows that it was you that helped us. And this is super important, absolutely without question, because at the end of the day, this transparency is what will create change. There's a little controversial disclosure, the Warlock system. Have any of you heard of this? No? Okay. The IED Detection System Manual. This basically says that there are some IEDs and it blocks them. It explains how it works. And by the time that it was disclosed, that it had mostly changed. But it's interesting because what it did is it revealed, essentially, that there was so much information that people already knew, that by telling everyone that people knew it, it changed things. It forced people to react in a different way. And it just so happened that we had been spending a majority of our expenses on these devices, which insurgents had already figured out how to get around. So this is something really important. It's the idea that there's this black market for information. And as long as only some people have it, and not everyone, then things will be all right. In some cases, I guess I could see why someone would make that reasoning, that line of reasoning, but it's just not true. The people in Iraq know what's going on, right? It's us. We are the ones that don't. I mean, it's quite clear that they've been able to get around a lot of these jamming devices. So what's important is that when things don't work, that people understand that they're not working. The military-industrial complex is extremely large and very convoluted, and it means that there are a lot of players here who benefit regardless if the thing saves our troops. That's a really important point, right? And I think that it's quite clear that there are people that would just like to see this information vanish instead of adapt, instead of changing. And I understand that, because they're usually the ones that profit from it. But I say, no. So, it's important. In this case, this transparency, I believe, is quite obviously neutral, because now we all know that the emperor doesn't have any clothes. This is not bad to know this. This is good to know this. You are now empowered to make a decision about that system, and about the people who might be protected by that system, or who might try to thwart that system. Now you are as qualified as someone else to make that decision, if not better, because you have the original source documents on the subject. So, let's talk about some other publishing that we've done that's important. Iceland is a country that is very close and near and dear to my heart, and there's a very incredible person here from Iceland. And we've had long discussions about that country, and I find it to be quite a special place. And I had a chance to go to Iceland earlier this year. It wasn't a secret of any kind, and we were working together on a fun project there, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But the important thing is that WikiLeaks there has a special place in people's hearts, because we released loan books that showed how people had bankrupted a nation state, how they had essentially done a ton of unethical things. And everybody knows who they are now. Everybody knows what happened. And this is extremely important for a country that has just over 300,000 people. That is a village by comparison. It might even be Greenwich Village by comparison. This document is extremely important. The impact that this had on Icelandic society was not small. People understood what happened. They understood that they were robbed blind. So how has the truth helped? How has that changed things? Well, I think that's quite clear for the people of Iceland, and probably for you. So let's talk about Guantanamo Bay. You guys probably want to see that closed, I suppose? Yeah? Well, let's talk about how we're going to close it. We're going to close it by knowing what's going on there, right? Lots of people tried to get the operations manual from Guantanamo Bay, and they quite simply couldn't get it through the Freedom of Information Act. It's just not possible in some cases to get information. After the document was leaked to us, it was leaked a number of times to us over some period of time, which shows that every time the U.S. military told us about how things were going and what the procedures were, they were lying to us. This is really important, because you see, this manual was not written for us. It was written for people that do these things. And that's the really important point here, right? When you have an internal document, you have a view into the mindset of the organization that actually takes these actions. This is critical, because when someone crafts a piece of PR for you, it's for you. It's to effect some change. It's to manipulate you to do a thing, right? So when you read this document, when you see how the Guantanamo Bay Operations Manual is laid out, and you see the operating procedure, you know that it is not something you want to support. You understand quite clearly. And the fact that multiple times this document was leaked lets you know that when they said they made changes in response to media inquiries, you know that they were also lying. And you know now when they move their lips that they're probably lying again.
Wow. Okay, that was an excerpt from the keynote address at the Next Hope by WikiLeaks representative Jacob Applebaum, filling in for Julian Assange. And I got to say, he really delivered a very powerful talk for about 90 minutes there. And this is one of the 20 talks that we're offering for a pledge of $75 on a full DVD video for your call now to 212-209-2950. If you would like to get 40 talks from The Next Hope, the pledge level is $125, but we're only offering it for another 33 minutes, and then that's it. 212-209-2950. I got to say, you know, there's so much in there, so much that that we can learn from. Just the part about Guantanamo Bay and how, yeah, you know, we want to find out about this information. We want to find out how this organization, this prison is being run. How do we get this information? Well, it was leaked multiple times. People want us to find out this information. And thank God there's a group like WikiLeaks that's out there that will publish this information and spread the news. I don't see how anybody could say that is a bad thing, that the truth gets out there somehow. And your call is one voice of support for this kind of openness in society. And I'm just happy that a lot of people realize that such a thing is valuable to any democratic society. Yeah, there's been a lot of controversy. WikiLeaks has been in the news all summer, and it's not going to go away anytime soon because there are more leaked documents out there. But I think every leaked document tells us something about what's actually going on. And that's how we build a strong society, and we learn from mistakes, and we punish the people who are doing things that are counter to what we supposedly stand for. 212-209-2950. Join the three calls, four calls on the line right now to get the DVD set. It's really something. Dot Red.
Yeah, I think that's a really amazing thing to point out is, you know, in spite of how the debate might have been redirected, as Mike said, about you know, who are these people that are leaking these and how dare they? You know, if you look at the fact that these documents like the Guantanamo Bay manual was like leaked several times, obviously, you know, many people who come across this information feel that it needs to be in the public domain. And, you know, that it's not simply a question of whether this information should come out, but apparently lots of people think it really needs to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, revealing secret information is the cornerstone for a democratic society because you're always being lied to. You're always being lied to by people in charge, whether it's your parents or the government. Well, it's basically there are things they don't want you to know. And it's really up to us to decide in the end. How many secrets we're willing to allow to be kept from us. And an organization like WikiLeaks needs to be supported. And I think people are demonstrating how valuable that organization is to them. Rob.
Yeah, usually when it comes to issues like this, I try and see both sides, whether or not, you know, whichever I agree with. But with this particular issue, I really feel like everybody who's calling for WikiLeaks blood and saying this should not be happening, that's basically saying I would rather be lied to. I would rather not know what's going on. I would rather be mistaken
exactly, yeah.
in my beliefs.
Cover up my eyes. Don't tell me what's really going on. Just get the job done and we'll sort it all out later. But, you know, that's really convenient and it saves you from any difficult moral dilemmas. But I think the truth really needs to be known. And if things are happening out there that we don't support, that are basically tearing our country apart morally, we need to know. We need to know now before it gets even worse. And yeah, it's sloppy. It's all kinds of inconvenient questions are asked. But the information's out there. The information is already out there. It's in these computer systems. Millions of people have access to it. And you can bet that if enemy agents, if we want to go down this road and say, well, what if enemy agents get lists of these people's names? Do you think they're going to advertise the fact that, hey, we already have the information. Somebody's leaking the information to us. They're not going to tell the world that we've got all the collaborators with the U.S. government in Afghanistan. They're not going to say that. They're just going to keep that link open, and they're going to do whatever they can to make sure nobody else knows that they're able to get into the system as well. Whereas if it's leaked to the public, everybody knows. Everybody knows it's out there. Everybody knows how insecure the system is. And that's I think, what the hacker world has stood for many, many years now. Information needs to get out there. People need to know what kind of security is or is not in place, and the truth needs to be told. 212-209-2950. We have six calls on the line. Again, a pledge of $75 gets you this talk plus 19 others, including the informant panel where hacker Adrian Lamo defends his actions, turning in Bradley Manning, the alleged leaker. Yeah, it was one hell of a conference. It really was. We never thought it would be anything like this. But you'll get that talk as well for a pledge of $75. Maybe we'll play another excerpt from that later. A pledge of $125, you'll get 40 talks. Yeah, 40 talks total. So that's something. 212-209-2950. Mike.
You know, BAI has been bringing people the truth for decades. And you get more truth on these 20 DVDs if you call us and pledge. I think it's really quite an amazing package.
Bernie, we're down to 3 calls now. Can you bring that up to maybe 7?
I'm going to try, Emmanuel. I think that Jake Applebaum did an admirable job, probably the best job I have seen or heard of explaining to the general public why WikiLeaks is important and what the hacker community's role is in the success of WikiLeaks. In fact, I think it was such an inspiring talk that it probably inspired the U.S. government to detain Jake, just a week or two after he gave that talk, when he returned from, was it Belgium? He was detained for several hours.
Yeah, he was coming back to the United States from Europe, and he was detained, and I believe he had his cell phone confiscated. They tried to go through his computer, but he was smart. He didn't bring a hard drive with him, so they had nothing to look at. He had the hard drive either shipped separately, or he just kept data in the various countries he was traveling between without actually bringing it from one to the other. That's very smart to do things like that. However, he has been harassed quite a bit since then. And it's interesting, too, right after this talk, right after the keynote was given, we did a little sleight of hand. Our security team basically dressed somebody up to look just like Jake, and they ushered him to the elevator. All the press and hidden government agents and curious people followed, and followed all the way down, I think, to street level. And then when it was finally revealed, it was somebody else dressed like Jake. Jake, meanwhile, had slipped out a different exit and was on his way to the airport. He literally gave his talk, left, and got on a plane and went to Europe. That's literally how it happened, and nobody was able to figure it out until it was too late. In fact, there was a reporter waiting to talk to him, and they got kind of left in the lurch because he gave them the slip as well. 212-209-2950. Support this kind of free speech and subversiveness, rebelliousness, that kind of thing. It's all essential to our society. 212-209-2950. Bernie, we still only have 3 calls on the line, though.
Well, you interrupted me. That's why we didn't get up to that.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's understandable. We're all enthusiastic about this because this is really all about free speech. That's what WBAI is about, and it's what Off the Hook is about. And you're going to hear things on this program and on WBAI in general that you're not going to hear from any other source, at least from a radio station that broadcasts this type of information 24/7. These Hope DVDs, we put, as maybe not all of our listeners know, that we put on this conference every 2 years. It's too much work to do every year, but thousands of people from around the world convene to hear people speak truth to power. And the excerpt you just played from one of our keynote speakers is an excellent example of the type of material that this show produces and that the Hope Conference produces, and which listeners can get a very good grasp of what the issues of the day are from the perspective of people who are making changes in this world. Call 212-209-2950 and get 20 of the best DVDs from the Hope Conference for only $75, plus the great Off the Hook t-shirt designed by Rob T. Firefly. That works out to like $3 and change per DVD. That's really an unbelievable value.
Yeah, that's a steal.
If you want to pledge a little bit more, $125, you will get 40. That's 4 times 10, 40 DVDs for about $3 a DVD. This is an unreal value. Please, listeners, call 212-209-2950. You will not be able to buy these DVDs anywhere else for anywhere near this price.
But more importantly,
supporting right. A tremendous radio station, WBAI.
That's the key right there, because yes, it's a great price, but you're getting this this outlet that broadcasts to 4 states from its transmitter and the entire world via the internet. That brings you information like this. And if you listen around, if you listen to all the other media outlets, they're not bringing you this kind of information. They're self-censoring. They're keeping things safe. They're not testing the system in any way. And by supporting this place, by making sure this place is still here, which is what your pledge will do, you're ensuring that such things will be reported on in the future, that such outlets will be there when the next WikiLeaks event happens, that somebody is going to pay attention to it.
Yeah, and I was saying in an email to a listener earlier this week that this really is the only place we could do this program in the manner that we think we need to. There is nowhere else in this city in this radio dial that comes even close to this form of freedom of speech, this history. I mean, the bizarre alignment of circumstances that resulted in the station even existing. It was such a one-time event; it will never happen again. And if this station were to go away, there would be a huge loss felt.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sometimes people ask us, why don't you just do this radio program in your basements without all this infrastructure? And I think one of the main reasons is that WBAI creates such a community that when we say something on the air, someone outside in the studio probably knows something about it and walks in and brings us a piece of paper.
Yeah, like Robert Knight just plowed through here before with information about the Sarah Palin hacker, David Cornell. Who we were talking about before, and he was able to tell us that he was in fact convicted in April 2010. His sentencing isn't until September 24th, though, and he could get a maximum of 20 years for figuring out Sarah Palin's password. I mean, that's simply incredible. That right?
Well, yeah, the maximum might be more than 14,
calls.
But hopefully he won't get anywhere near 14.
Hopefully he won't get a day in prison.
Yes, I was joking, but he says he'll probably get between 9 to 12 months.
Rob?
I would just like to say that the fact that we were talking about a news story and somebody literally handed us a sheet of paper with more information and this just in, I've always wanted to be that guy.
Now, to further address what Mike was saying, though, about why it's important to have a radio station, not just a podcast, I'd like to direct you to something that's going on in Houston right now. I just found out about this today, and I'm incensed by it. Rice University has this student-run radio station. Now, they also have an NPR station, and what they have done is they've taken the student radio station known as KTRU and agreed to sell it to change the format so that it's another NPR station. In other words, they will have two stations on the same college campus. KUHF and KTRU will both be NPR affiliates. The students are being kicked off the air completely, but they're being given a podcast, so they'll be able to broadcast to the internet just like anybody can from their basement. But they have a 50,000-watt radio station right there on campus, and they're giving it up to an entity that's just going to broadcast the same thing you hear probably on 10 other frequencies in that city. It's insane, but that is what's happening to alternative media. It's being swallowed up by the same old thing. Don't let that happen here. 212-209-2950. And you know what? There's a lot of protests going on at KTRU. Maybe we can get involved in that as well and help save that station because, wow. It's really to think that I've seen college campuses give away their radio station to NPR. But a college campus that has two radio stations, that gives them both to NPR and locks the students out, that's just wrong. Unbelievable. 212-209-2950. We're back down to three calls. And we have other things that we want to excerpt as well. We do need your support at 212-209-2950. $75, 20 DVDs, 125, 40 DVDs. Voltaire.
Yeah, what you're saying about the college radio stations and NPR reminded me of a year or two ago, a few of us from BAI were at the National Organization of Broadcasters
NAB,
yes, meeting, and there was a panel about community radio, and it was just like so disturbing to hear these NPR people spouting off things that were indistinguishable from the Clear Channel folks.
And they're saying the same thing that Clear Channel people are saying.
Exactly.
What kinds of things were they saying?
They're saying that we should that with HD radio they'll be able to give like 1/5 of the channels to community groups, and they'll be able to keep the other 4/5 for themselves and stuff like that.
Bernie, I know you have strong feelings about this.
Yeah, HD radio, we talked about on the show before. It's requires people to buy an expensive radio to pick up a lesser quality signal, but more importantly, it's a way for as Voltaire just pointed out, to marginalize even further community radio voices, which I think is a very bad thing. WBAI is the beacon of community radio in Manhattan and to the 4-state surrounding area and to the rest of the world via the Internet. So I really encourage listeners to call and support this station. We're going to get to give you some great gifts that you can't get anywhere for close to the same price, and support WBAI by calling 212-209-2950. Call now. This is a really limited opportunity. You can support WBA anytime you want. but this is a great time to get some great thank you gifts.
Let me also use this beacon to send out some other information too, which is very important, and that's something that's happening next Monday. As you recall, a bunch of us have been involved in the fight to save the Hotel Pennsylvania from the wrecking ball. They want to replace the nearly 100-year-old hotel with a big, shiny office building that there are no tenants for, and displace over 1,000 people, 1,000 travelers a day that stay in the place from all around the world. And, of course, make it very hard for us to have our Hope Conference there if it's not there in the future. There's going to be a final hearing on Monday, this coming Monday at 9:30 a.m. The address is 250 Broadway. It's on the 16th floor. It's basically a meeting of the Subcommittee on Zoning and Franchise. And this could very well be the last chance we have to speak out against Vornado's proposed demolition of Hotel Pennsylvania. Now, once you get there, you can sign up and speak for a finite amount of time. Not exactly sure how long they're going to give people, but it's essential that if you believe the hotel should be preserved and kept from being destroyed, that you come to this meeting this Monday, 9:30 a.m., 250 Broadway on the 16th floor. If you can't make it, please tell people who can. Please spread the word around. This really does matter, and I think it's indicative of lots of things that are going wrong in our society, where we destroy things that don't seem convenient at the time and replace them with ugly, stupid things that don't make any sense. A huge office tower on 34th Street and 7th Avenue that nobody's going to be using doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And we're taking a bit of history and destroying it. So, yeah, more information on our website, www.2600.com.red.
Yeah, so for anyone who might be trying to speak like you said, I would suggest probably plan for no more than 2 minutes.
That's all? I could speak for 45 minutes on this.
I know lots of us could. But my experience from these sorts of events is that you're generally not given more than 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, so, just get your opinions in order and speak well, Voltaire.
If you're an out-of-towner and won't be able to make it to this, it would still be helpful if you upload a video of about your experiences at Hotel Penn and how it relates to your experience of New York.
What good is the video going to do?
You could upload to YouTube or something tight with Hotel Penn, and we'd be able to say, look at all the – do a search for Hotel Penn and see all the support.
Okay. Rob?
There's a bit of an interesting side note to this story that I think was raised by The Observer, where Vornado seems to have raised the ire of the Empire State Building.
Oh, really?
Because from certain directions, this proposed new building would block the Empire State Building in the skyline.
Wow.
Or interfere with it. And the Empire State Building is just taking notice of this and saying, hey, wait a minute.
Let's get the Empire State Building on our side. Those are some good people there. It's basically Vornado just wants to destroy the hotel no matter what. I don't know why. I don't know why they hate the hotel so much. They said even if New York City doesn't agree to all their plans to upgrade the subway entrances and things like that, they're still going to destroy the hotel and just build a plain old office building that is called a no-action building that won't give anything really to the community and will just be a few stories tall. And that makes me wonder, what is their actual angle here? They seem to just want to get their way, and they're telling the city, we're going to do it anyway, so you might as well do it our way. And I don't trust people that talk like that.
And yet the hotel's turning a profit. The hotel's doing well.
I mean, big time.
If I had my own hotel and it was doing well, I would not want to tear it down.
Think about it. 1,200 rooms. They're full most of the year. And most hotel rooms don't have just one person in them. That's hundreds of thousands of people a year that come to the city, stay there. And because they're not spending a huge amount on the hotel, they're spending money as tourists around the city and seeing the city for the first time. Plus, these people aren't aware the hotel is going to be torn down because they're from out of town and nobody tells them these things. Voltaire.
Yeah, that's the whole point, that the hotel is providing a huge public service, at least compared to an office building. It's so much more valuable to the city than
absolutely.
An office building.
Absolutely. Listen, we're down to one call, which means we have to play another excerpt here. This is something from the informants panel. Yeah, we played some of it last week, I know, but it's so much fun to listen to. This is where Adrian Lamo, the quote-unquote hacker who turned in Bradley Manning, the alleged leaker of the collateral murder video and perhaps other documents as well. He turned him in for various reasons. And here he is at the Hope Conference facing an angry crowd defending himself. this video plus the WikiLeaks keynote plus a bunch more, 20 altogether, are yours for a pledge of $75, 212-209-2950. 40 videos are yours for a pledge of $125, 212-209-2950. Let's take a listen.
My quick question is when you decide to do...
This is Kevin Mitnick questioning him.
Why did you have to go to the media? Why didn't you just do it and keep it a secret and not seek any type of media exposure?
Primarily the same reason, because I support WikiLeaks, because I believe in transparency, and I believe...
No. Why didn't you just go to the law enforcement agencies and just keep it quiet and not go to Wired and tell them the story? Why did you have to go and talk to the media about this case? Why was that important to you?
Why do people here support WikiLeaks? Because they believe in a public's right to know. Why do I support WikiLeaks? Because I believe that in the majority of cases, the public has a right to know. I believe in this case, especially as much as it affects people in this room, people on the street who have never even fucking heard of it, they would have a right to know.
So they would have the right to know that about Manning's activities. So you wanted to expose Manning through the press rather than just go to law enforcement.
Ultimately, there would have been a press release regarding Manning's activities from the
arrest.
Come again?
From the arrest.
Yes, and
yeah, but that came much later. There was so much media about this, and then later he was arrested. So much media. That, you know, I was just curious of why you had to go to the media, and why you couldn't keep it quiet. I was just curious.
It's a good question. I went initially to a journalist who I knew to be ethical, Kevin Lee Paulson, who is known to many of you here, and I gave him background on the case. I didn't tell him, go ahead and run with this. It was only after Manning...
But why did you call him? Like, why? Why didn't you just keep it a secret?
Well, I believe that I've answered that question...
Because the public's right to know.
At least twice now. Okay. Because the public has a right to know, and especially because WikiLeaks is so intimately tied to the community that we have here and to many communities that believe in freedom of information, that they would also have a right to know, form their own decisions if they chose to do so, establish legal defense funds, because everyone has a right to be represented to the best of their ability. And the same reason that I went to Kevin with my arrest, because I felt that as a former hacker himself, he could represent the story better than the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. No offense to anyone in the audience from there.
All right. Guiz has very graciously allowed us a couple of minutes to go over, so he's not going to attack us with his cooking utensils just yet. So I'd like to just, the three people who are standing now, and the fourth person, you can sit down. Now, the three people, you get to ask questions really quickly. No one else. We have to end this at some point. I know we're all having such fun here. So one, two, and three, try to make it quick. And Adrian, also.
You speak about supporting WikiLeaks and transparency, and this is the first time that we might have had actual transparency into what the army was doing, and current transparency that might have changed the policy, that might have ended the war, saved lives over there in Iraq, and bought back the lives of those people that would be involved in those missions. So you say you're trying to prevent them from dying. This is the best way to do it. So why did you turn them in?
I have to disagree in the strongest possible terms. I don't believe that there is anything that Mr. Manning released that would have resulted in troops pulling out of Iraq, pulling out of Afghanistan, in our intervention overseas ending in any way. It may have caused change, but it would not have been positive change in my estimation.
Okay, we have room for two more. I see more than two people standing, so if your number is higher than two, please do not stand. Person number one, go ahead.
I was just wondering, I saw in an article that you were diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome when you were 29, and I know a lot of people in the community have it, including me. I was just wondering what your experience was with that. I know it's kind of a little unrelated.
I'll be brief because that's a little bit off topic, but it was eye-opening for me. I didn't really understand, to some extent, why I approached the world as much as I did, why I suffered from anxiety as much as I did, and talking to qualified medical professionals about it was very helpful. I feel a lot better about my life now than I did before I had a real proper diagnosis.
All right, next question. And you know, there's two people still standing after that. I have to admire your courage. Okay, we'll let you speak as well. But that's it. Nobody else. Nobody else. And quickly, please.
All right, first about the cables. I trust WikiLeaks' judgment of what to release and what not to release. I think they've had an excellent record so far, and I trust WikiLeaks' judgment a lot more than I trust the government's judgment of what should be released and what should not be. Secondly, I think that it's pretty clear what's resulted from all of this so far, right? Manning is in a brig in Kuwait somewhere facing huge charges. Assange is underground. The ultimate release of these cables is in question. Who knows what's going to happen with this? And I think we need to be clear about what's acceptable to do and what's not acceptable to do. And I think you f***ed it up huge.
Okay, we're going to have to fade out there, but that's just a portion of one of the talks that we're giving away tonight for a pledge of, well, different pledge levels. That's one of 20 talks, the informants panel featuring Adrian Lamo talking about the whole WikiLeaks thing, also including the WikiLeaks keynote. Pledge of $75 gets you 20 talks. A pledge of $125 gets you 40. And for the next 5 minutes, a pledge of $250 gets you all of the talks. That's 100 plus. 212-209-2950. I'm told that our goal right now is to raise another $1,000 in the next 6 minutes. And can we do it? Yes, we can. If four people want the 250 package, it's simple. It's really simple. 212-209-2950. Guys, what do you think of that? Did Adrian Lamo do a good job defending his actions, Rob?
I think he did a good job of informing me of his own thought processes behind his actions. And whether I think he did a good job of anything else is way in question. But I felt enlightened and much more informed.
It's riveting, though, watching this. And, of course, you can't watch it over the radio. And, of course, we can't play you the four-letter words over the radio. But you'll get all of that and a lot more for your pledge at 212-209-2950. Let's get those phone lines lit up because this is the last 5 minutes for us before we're out of here for this week, and the pledge drive ends as of this week's show, so we won't be back asking for money next week. This is the only chance to get this at such a good rate. 212-209-2950. Join the one call on the line and get all the talks for $250. Get 20 of the talks for $75. Get 40 for $125. Dot red.
Yeah, as far as him representing himself and defending himself, I think considering his specific situation, Asperger's and whatnot, that he probably did fairly well. And
in defending himself.
Yeah, you know, as probably as well as he probably could have done, mm-hmm. You know, that is a somewhat social-wise difficult to... anyway, but that aside, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the information that still got out, you know, his thought process, the community's take on what has been done, and just the somewhat civil discussion, I think is actually very good.
It's a testament to the hacker community spirit of listening to all kinds of opposing opinions and debating it, and you'll get no better example of that than seeing this video. But you don't just get this video, you get so many videos. We're out of time, so we can't really talk about this anymore, but just say it's an incredible deal. 212-209-2950. Talk to the people on the other end of the phone. They can explain it to you very well. And Rob, you have something very quick to say?
Yeah, just very quickly, I'd like to say a huge thank you to everyone who's supported us throughout this, who've been bearing with us the past few weeks. And really, our listeners are amazing. And
really
without
are.
You, we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely. All right. We'll see you next week. Stay tuned for the Personal Computer Show. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. 212-209-2950. See you next week. Aha! Wow, these guys are great with their stuff. All right, you know, this is WBAI New York 99.5 FM, and it is August the 18th, 2010, it is. You know what that means?
No.
Well, that means it's time for the Personal Computer Shoe. Right?
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, Stevie DB. You gave me a wonderful lead-in to say this is Joe King, and welcome to the Personal Computer Show. With me in the studio tonight is Hank Key, and from the magic of Alexander Graham, and out on the left coast is David Perry of Trend Micro. Hiya, David.
Hello, Joe, and hello, Hank. Yeah, I'm out here on the coast.
How's the weather there?
Some rays. It's beautiful. It's about 78 degrees out, sunny. Mm.
Didn't they pass a law out there a while back that it was against the law to feed the homeless in the land of the homeless?
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, I understand they're going to try. Some people have introduced a law in Congress to pass the same law that it's against the law to be in favor of the law against the law.
Well, you know, David, with your kind of charm, since you're going to be in the city next week, in New York City, are you going to bring that wonderful weather with you instead of this miserable weather we have?
I'll try.
I didn't know we had miserable weather.
It's hot and humid.
Oh, well, to me, miserable weather is snow, cold and wet.
Yeah, I don't like snow either.
You don't like snow? Well, that's why you're out in California. There hardly snows.
Right.
Dude.
Well, he's
you have hardly ever seen me in the snow. Maybe once you've seen me in the snow.
Well, you mean in Southern California, it doesn't snow at all?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Wow. It never snows in Southern California.
Well, it'll like they'll go, oh, it's going to snow, it's going to snow. And like one snowflake will fall from the sky and hit the middle of the street and go up in a puff of steam.
And that's a plant.
But it never rains in Southern California either.
Oh, no. When it rains here, it'll rain like 3 inches in an hour and a half.
Wasn't that a Jim Croce song?
Yeah, there was some kind of a song.
Yeah, Jim Croce.
It never rains, it pours. Yeah. Okay, listen, tonight, folks, as a big surprise to all of you in the listening audience and those few of you who are listening on podcasts and those many who are downloading it from the archives, I've got a surprise for you.
We're
in a membership drive, Hank.
Well, this is the final week of the membership drive, and we have a very special premium. And all we can say is that it's a special premium from Trend Micro. David, can you say what you can say about it?
Here's what I can say, is that the product that we've been giving away is Trend Micro Internet Security, and that is being replaced by this program that I cannot tell you what it's called. Now, and it will ship in 1 month, but you are going to be among the very first in the world to receive this.
Now, wait a minute. The Internet Security Pro that you had been selling, or maybe still selling, was good for three machines. Is this going to be...
This is also going to be good for three machines.
It's
now going to be available in three different strengths and one machine or three machines, but this is the big deal. This is the maximum strength, three machines, and it's the fastest, the smallest, and the lightest on its feet, and at the same time provides more protection. And I can't give you any more detail than that.
So you're saying functionally it's...
Well, wait a minute. I can ask questions, though. I can't ask them of you, David. I'll ask them of Hank. How can folks in the listening audience get it?
They can get it by, of course, dialing in on... I'm sorry, I don't know the number.
212-209-2950.
And we will send it to them. They will be among the very first receivers.
And Hank, what's the retail price of this unnamed thing?
Oh, he doesn't know. This is $79.99. This is an $80 value.
And how many licenses do you get for that?
You get one license that's good for up to three machines.
Three machines at home, right?
Right.
And Hank, what are you asking for as a premium?
Well, what we're saying is that on top of that, we're throwing in a WBAI membership. And also to be a first kid on the block.
Well, more than that, we're giving the folks a chance to support non-commercial radio here in New York. And we're giving the folks a chance to make sure that they can hear the Personal Computer Show every week on Wednesday night.
And all the other great shows that come from WBAI.
And we're giving them a chance to support free speech radio and news and Democracy Now! And all these other good things. And we're only asking them to pledge $75. And they would pledge $75 just to support the radio station. But on top of that, Hank is going to personally see to it that David sends them a copy of this unnamed Trend microcomputer product, which will be the really super best thing that ever has happened to the world of viruses.
By the way, David, this is for Windows, right?
This is for Windows. This is not
okay.
A Macintosh product.
Right.
This is for Windows only. It'll work with Windows XP. It'll work with Windows Vista for the three people left using Vista. And it will work with Windows 7, which is, of course, Vista with a facelift.
And is there a product out there for the folks who happen to be Macintosh owners?
We do have a product for Macintosh owners, but it is not primarily an anti-malware product. Although it does have an anti-malware scanner in it, there's virtually no malware in Macs.
All right. Well, those folks who do have a Macintosh, they have other benefits, but if they would like to have
if they want the Macintosh product, we can substitute that. Just let them.
And that would be a pledge of $55. Rather than the pledge of $75. Now, there's another couple of ways we have for you to join the WBAI family and to support the BAI family. One of them that I do want to talk about for a moment is what we call the Gold Card Tech Support Membership. And what that is for 1 year, you get priority response to any of your email inquiries. They don't just have to be about a broken machine or a non-working machine. Sometimes you might simply want some advice on something you might want to buy or something you might want to give or something that you got. And tech support membership is a $200 pledge, and it gives you, for your personal use, unlimited answers to your email questions. We've had some interesting questions over the years, Hank. Some that you've answered.
Well, we've gotten all kinds of questions. The technical questions, believe it or not, are the easier ones for us to handle. The more difficult one is the simpler questions like, I want to buy. Because most people, when they want to buy something, we really need to know more than you want to buy. It's like, what you're going to use it for, how much you want to spend, what's your expectation. And that is really more than one iteration of just dealing with you. We actually have to go a lot of back and forth.
And there's that famous advice one gets from the Romans, which is de gustibus non disputandum est.
Yes, it does.
Which means?
There is no accounting for some people's taste.
Well, I think sometimes we've given an answer where when we talk to someone, we actually would have said to them, when in doubt, don't buy anything.
The other thing is that we do try to answer as quickly as we can. We do have a technical problem, and sometimes the technical problems are quite urgent, that you can't get into the machine or the machine is crashing, what have you. And we generally are able to get most answers out to you within 24 hours, sometimes within 2 or 3 hours, depending. And if we, that is we being Hank, myself, Stevie, David, Alfred, Michael, don't have the answer, we have an awful lot of friends in the industry, and we can go out very often to the manufacturer of the item that's giving you the problem and get you a direct answer. Again, that's a $200 pledge, 212-209-2950.
You know, there is another item that we're, before we hit the news, I'd like to talk about just briefly, Joe. Prior to coming to BAI, I was at the local church. And the reason why I was at the local church was I was asked to come in because, typical, you know, the person did not back up and the system crashed. And he had very important data on his machine. And he said to me, I need that data, but I can't boot up the machine. So I went in there and I took out a CD. And he said, what is that? I says, that's called UBCD. And it's a Ultimate Boot CD. And I loaded it up. And I said, okay, now where's your data? I went to the C drive, copied out to a pen drive. And he says, oh, thank you, thank you. And then I said to him, are you going to back up now? He says, I don't have to back up now that I have my data. Oh, I could kill him.
But most people, even if they back up, will find at some point they're going to need access to a crashed machine. And very often, the drive itself is accessible, but it doesn't have an operating system on it that will work, and UBCD will.
Yeah. Now,
so we're making UBCD available as a premium.
No, it's part of the DVD toolkit, and it's very easy to create that boot-up CD. It's an ISO file. An ISO file is a binary file. With the binary file, what you do is you have a number of programs available, and you just burn it in. And after you burn it in, you can boot up off a CD. It's actually pretty easy. Have you tried that at all, Dave?
No, I have not. I also have not booted up from the YLMF.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No, I've been busy coughing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the other thing is that we have also available as one of the premiums, along with a DVD toolkit that has a lot of stuff on it, and it's just really quite numerous to elaborate. If you go to our website, pcradioshow.org, we actually have listed two full pages, single line of what the items are. But we have what is also called YLMF, and what that is a boot-up, ready-to-run distro, live distro, that happens to be a Ubuntu-based operating system, but it has Windows XP presentation manager. So one of the things that you could do is if you get the blue screen of death is you boot up with the YLMF, and it's going to look familiar to you because you're going to say, gee, it looks like XP. And after you load it up, you can now then go to whatever drive, probably the C drive that you're hung up on, and pull out the information you want and copy it onto a pen drive or whatever you want to put it on. And then you can go about saying, okay, now that I saved my data, I can now find out how to fix the hard drive itself.
212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. I don't see anybody calling in, and I really can't believe that nobody wants to support the Personal Computer Show on WBAI Radio.
This is the last week. And by the way, when we say this is the last week for the fundraising, what we're also saying is that this is the only time, there's no other time, you're going to have an opportunity to get this brand new product that we cannot give you the name from Trend Micro that is better than the current product, the what's it called? Trend Micro Internet Security Pro?
Yes, it's better than that.
Better?
It's radical. It's a radical technology departure.
And it's faster, it's more efficient, and you'll be the first one to get it as soon as it comes off the hot press.